Oh, no hea koe. Ko tarakia te maunga, ko ōpepe te awa, ko ōpāpe te marae, ko whakatūhia, ko Ngāti Rangi ngā iwi, ko Ngāi Tamahaua, ko Tauwhao ngā hapū. Kei Tāmaki Makaurau taku kāinga ināianei.
Nā reira, me tukumihi ki a koe, mō tēnei wā. Thank you so very much again for joining us here on Irirangi Wātea. Kaupapa Māori tools for communication with tangata Māui we stroke. What's the Māori phrase for stroke?
Oh, I can tell you the Māori phrase for aphasia, te mate ngā runga roro, which is, sorry, te mate ngā runga reo, which is the di language difficulty caused by stroke, which is i kura roro. Te mate i kura roro,
Oh,
that's
ka pai.
stroke.
And so why this particular kaupapa, why this particular topic of stroke that interested you before we launch into, and congratulations as well too on your award in this area. Congratulations. What got you interested in this area?
So I'm a speech language therapist, and a lot of people think of us working with maybe children who have a lisp or people who stutter, which we do. But a large area of our work is actually with adults who have brain injuries of some sort. And I was particularly interested in stroke because of the way it causes damage to a different part of your brain. It's just the luck of the draw as to where your stroke happens, what difficulties you might have. And sometimes, in about one third of people who have a stroke, it affects your language. So it's not that you can't talk. Usually you can still move your lips and your tongue and your voice and everything. It's more that you can't find the right words to put onto your thoughts and also have trouble with understanding when people talk to you. And you might think, oh, well, if I can't talk, I could just write. But the cruel thing is that because it's the language problem, often writing isn't an option for you either. And so I thought, well, to me, it's probably one of the worst disabilities you could have because who we are is so inherent in our language and our communication with people. It's so important for relationships. And then I was working at Waikato Hospital as a speech language therapist and noticed how many Māori were on the stroke ward there and how many were on my caseload as a speech language therapist. But also, I was frustrated by the fact that we didn't have any specific Māori resources to use with these whānau.
So you've made some rauimi for our tangata who are struggling in this area. What is the difference then between rauimi Māori and rauimi Pākehā, non-Māori, that make that really does stand it apart? And talk to us about why particularly our whānau Māori would be more embracive of looking, seeing, and touching rauimi Māori as opposed to some of the other general resources that they might find.
When I was doing my PhD research, which was about the experiences of Māori whānau with aphasia, this language disorder from stroke, I talked to a few whānau who said, talk to me about their experience of speech language therapy. And a lot of the resources that we have in New Zealand are actually from America or from England. And so not only are they not Māori, but they're not even Kiwi. And I remember one man saying to me, oh, you know, the therapist was showing me these flashcards, and I said, that's a footpath. And she said, no, it's a sidewalk. And he said, what do you mean it's a sidewalk? What are you trying to correct me with not even a New Zealand word? And then another story from a whānau whose mother had aphasia, and they were asking her to name some pictures, and she said, kuri. And the therapist said, no, it's a dog. And they thought, what are you doing? You think that our mum is getting this wrong, but she's actually not. She's completely right that that's a picture of a kuri. And this same woman talked about how they gave her a reading passage about ducks in New York for whatever reason. And this woman just turned to them and said, "But I'm from Hauiti and we have shags." And I think to her, it showed that because of this resource was about New York, it wasn't about Hauiti. It kind of showed that speech language therapy as a profession and the therapist didn't know who she was and didn't value her. So I think having Māori, specifically Māori speech language therapy resources, they, and it's only a beginning, but they begin to show an effort to be part of Te Ao Māori and to begin to bridge that gap, because speech language therapy is a very Western thing. We're grappling with that in our profession at the moment, a group of Māori speech language therapists. And how do we be authentically Māori in our practice, and how do we enable our clients to be their authentic selves and yet still receive speech language therapy? Particularly given that the vast majority of our speech language therapists are not Māori themselves. And all of us have to train in a system that's very Western.
So when you say speech language therapy is not cultural contextual to Māori, it's not a Māori construct, are you talking to the methodology of language therapy? Because because we are an oral tradition, and a lot of other Indigenous peoples are, our oral histories and our oral languages are who we are. That we do know language or speech and language as such. We also understand the vibrations of our kupu and our vowel sounds, and we use those in our waiata and in our whai kōrero. But is it that therapy thing and the definition of that is in conflict with how we actually perceive language and language learning?
I think so, yes. I mean, I love what you just said then. We've been having a bit of a discussion in our Māori SLT, speech language therapists Facebook group recently about what did our tūpuna do for people with damage that made them lose their language access, or for tamariki who didn't learn language like others. And we haven't got very far in that discussion yet, but I think there's a huge as yet unexplored by modern day speech language therapists. We need to learn a lot more about speech and language and communication. And I mean, the knowledge is all there about what our tūpuna did, but speech language therapists are not. We're not. We're clashing with that, I think, and not being as
Yes, I
tuned
see.
into it
And
as.
you also highlighted some of the issues around, and again, their environmental, conflicts in terms of a footpath, a pathway, a walkway, a dog, a kuri, those kinds of things. They're not new to us generally in education anyway, are they? When we take IQ tests as an example, they very much come from an international perspective, and so our perception of what they're actually asking for is based on something that is not within our framework, within our living framework. I'm just wondering then, because we know that, because we have known that the way in which we are tested with our IQ in terms of the Pākehā construct, why it's taken so long for the speech language therapy industry to understand then that we must look at the constructs that are within our life, within our own realities and within our own lives, why it's taken them so long.
Yeah, that's a very good question. It really is. And I think one of the One of the things is that we don't have enough Māori speech language therapists, and we're growing in number now, and we're getting to a point where we're starting to reach a critical mass where we can start to progress some of this kind of thing. But yes, you're very right. Why hasn't it? And it's racism, isn't it? It's colonization. It's health systems and education systems that don't work for our people, and methods of training where we're taught that this is what you do, not recognizing that this might be what you do for some people, but it's not necessarily the right way for everybody.
And also too, so your rauimi, ngā whāriki kōrero, that's the name of your kete rauimi, is it?
Yes.
So I'm just wondering then, given that, as we progress, as we progress along the way in terms of our language growth within the nation as a whole, then this isn't, then this rauimi, this ngā whāriki kōrero, would be for any New Zealander, but I'm thinking particularly for those that are now quite used to using kupu Māori in their everyday speak, but they may not be Māori. Some of, everybody uses kai, regardless of, without batting an eye. Everybody uses kuri, and kia ora as well too. I'm just wondering that as Ngā whāriki kōrero has become more used, then it can be more used more widely amongst all New Zealanders.
That's always been my hope. When I was starting out making this, it was many, many years in the making, and I listened to people from rural areas, urban areas, and it was the Māori health people in Bay of Plenty that were very clear to me that you must not take a European thing and sort of translate it into Māori. We need something that starts off for Māori. And then others can use it if they want to. So that's always been my intention, not to make this an exclusively Māori resource. But, I mean, they say if you get it right for Māori, you get it right for everyone. And I think this definitely has potential to be useful for anyone, because it's built on the experiences of people with stroke and aphasia. And I found that to a large extent that they're the same whoever you are. There's the grief of losing communication, there's the frustration, and there's the way it impacts on your relationships with your loved ones. I mean, those are pretty universal human concepts, human experiences.
Yes, absolutely. And just finally, when I first saw this, I thought, I actually, sort of read it and thought, oh, it's for stroke survivors. I'm just wondering, would it be useful? Would Ngā Whāriki Kōrero, is it able to be used? Is it useful for other issues, or, speech impediments, those with learning disabilities, even other types of speech issues?
I think so, yes. I mean, the ability to trial it out has been a little bit limited by COVID and not being able to do in-person, face-to-face therapy. But we have had requests for it from people at the Ministry of Education, people working with traumatic brain injury. And yes, I do think it's got potential to be used. The talking mats concept, Ngā Whāriki Kōrero, was a translation of talking mats, which is actually from Scotland, and it's a way of people, even if you can't read and write, and if you do have a learning disability, you can communicate your thoughts on the topic by placing picture cards onto the mat. And that's what this Ngā Whāriki Kōrero works on. So you might have relationships. How do you get on with your relationship with your whānau? And you can put it on the good side or the bad side or somewhere in the middle. What about your relationship with your caregiver or your spouse or your children or whatever? And this way, the person, even if they can't tell you, they can place the picture card representing that in a way that shows whether it's going well or not going well. And that provides avenues to explore further where needs to be explored.
Is anyone able to use the resources, or do you have to be referred, or does a therapist have to be referred to the whānau and then they come along with the rauimi? How does it work for whānau?
It's freely available to anybody. Technically, to do the talking mats, the speech language therapist has to have completed a talking mats training course officially to administer it. But in saying that, the cards I think would be useful to anybody. They've got pictures on them. So for anybody who can see, you've got something like this. You've got the little man, and it's in Te Reo Māori on one side and it's in English on the other side. So this man says it's hard. So it might be that if somebody with aphasia or with a communication difficulty can't actually express that, they might be able to just pick up the card and identify with this guy here, for example. I recently got a grant from Ngā Pai o Te Māramatanga to print some extra copies of it and also some envelopes to be able to post it out to people. So I'm very happy to post it to anybody. They can contact me by email, k.brewer@auckland.ac.nz, and when I can get on campus to get some of them out of the storage, then I'll be able to post them to anybody who's interested.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you very much for that. And just one other thing, and again, thank you for joining us. So you got an award. What was the award? Did you get some kind of medal or a cup? Or did you get money?
I don't know.
That would be always,
I do get some money. I don't actually know, because it was supposed to be there was supposed to be an award ceremony in Hamilton in November, and I got the email saying, "This is all hush hush. We'll announce it in November. Have a flash dinner," and then we got, "Oh, it's postponed till maybe February or March because of COVID. Keep it a secret till then." And then I got the email that said, "Oh, actually, that's too long. Just announce it now and we'll have the award ceremony later." So I'm going to find out sometime next year.
Oh, well.
When the alert levels let us.
Well, we wish you all the very best, and I hope it's a nice award. You know, sometimes people do all this really hard mahi and then they get, I mean, it's great to be recognised. It really is. And it's great to be recognised by your colleagues. I mean, it's fabulous, but, you know, after, you know, head down in your book and, you know, scrimping and scraping, sometimes it'd be really nice just to have a couple of pinga in your pocket, you know, after all that hard work, you know, really. Let's be honest. All that hard work.
Yep.
Well, thank you so very much again for joining us this afternoon on Irirangi Wāte. Very interesting, your mahi. We wish you all the very best. Me tuku mihi.
Kia ora.